Good morning, church. It's great to be with you this morning. I appreciate all the love and concern that everybody has. Also, would love for my iPad to open up. There we go. Hey, it is great to see you. It's great to be with you. I'm going to go as long as my voice will let me. Rick Copeland said, I wish Terry get the flu every Sunday. Because we get short sermons. Now, hey, I am glad to be with you. I have had the flu, so I am trying to stay away. That is not, hey, feel sorry for Terry. That is stay away from Terry. Okay? For whatever reason, Bo got the flu, and then I got a form of it. Madeline got the flu, then I got a form of it. Michelle hasn't had any. We're going to shut the whole world down if she does at our house, okay? But anyhow, just it is going around. It's really bad. And so please just be careful. We have a lot of great members here today. We have great visitors here. We have those who have tuned in live stream. Appreciate y'all. I'm glad that you're able to be here. But we do have somebody who's here for the very first time. And I know what you're thinking. Terry, you can't bring a baby up on that stage. You're exactly right for Terry. I'm going to ask my buddy Justin to come up for a moment. Ava Grace is here. Where is Ava Grace? Right here, okay. And Ava Grace Sherman is here for the very... She was over there a moment ago, and then I panicked, like, where did she go? But she's here for the very first time. Look at this beautiful little girl. I've seen her on Facebook, so many great pictures. Justin, hold that little girl up. Look at that. She's reaching for the sky. Welcome, Ava Grace. Cody, Brittany, she's beautiful. Proud of y'all. And you know what? She's got three big brothers who are going to look out for her. I promise you. Noah, you got her back. You go take care of her, right, buddy? I know. That's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. This morning, I had a front row seat to watch the children's contribution. It's really, really neat. I always sit right there and I get to watch it. But when you see them coming at you, it's amazing, but I need to tell this story. I hope you don't look at me the way my friend, he doesn't know he's going to be my best friend yet, but Ilya, Elijah, we're going to be best friends, but right now, I am stranger danger to him. Bless his heart. He was so excited to bring his money this morning. He come around, his mama's holding his hand, and he is as happy, and he is smiling. He's got everything, and I make eye contact with him, and he stopped. And basically, Christina had to drag him the rest of the way. I hope you don't view me that way, but I am glad that we're all here. Bless him. We're going to be best friends, buddy. You just don't know it yet. This past... I know that fell, and I don't mean to bring attention to her, but I was also touched when Miss Alma came in today. I can't imagine the struggle it is for her to get up and get herself ready, but I'm so proud of you. And she wore her red, which is fitting because we're going to talk about love today. This past week, that was the day of love, right? The day that people celebrate Valentine's Day. I saw so many great pictures on Facebook, and I'm glad because I don't think they were fake. You know, a lot of times on Facebook, pictures are fake and things are fake, and people have taken that picture a bunch of times. But there are a lot of people celebrating with their Valentines. That's husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends and all. Michelle and I celebrated because I had 102 fever. We really didn't, but I am thankful for my Valentine. But it's very fitting, I think, as we're talking about Jesus and we're talking about being living stones. We're talking about living like Jesus, who is the chief cornerstone. I think it's fitting we talk about living out love. What does love look like? Love looks like Jesus. Love is Jesus. And as I think about that, I think about love is not just verbiage, right? It's not just words we speak. For instance, if I say to my wife, I love her, but then I run her name down, I verbally abuse her, I run around on her, I've not shown that I love her. It's just been words. You know, can't we say the same thing about God? We are the bride of Christ. We are married to Jesus through baptism. And if I'm married to Jesus through baptism, then I don't need to just say, I love you, and then cheat on him all the time. Or run the church down all the time. Or take his name in vain all the time. You see, love is more than words or feelings. It's an action. The Bible provides us with the clearest picture of what real love looks like. I don't have a PowerPoint this morning, and I apologize. Somebody just this past week said they appreciated me having PowerPoint, and then I got the flu, and I just didn't feel like making one, just to be frankful. But I appreciate Robert and all the guys up in the sound room who do a great job with that. But you go have to, I don't have, you guys have to write them down if you want to go back and look at them this morning, I guess. But 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Man, that verse is strong. Let us not just say we love. Let us display and portray love. Today, I want us to explore what real love looks like. And I want us to do it by examining God. First point this morning is, as we talk about love, is we want to talk about God's love for us. You know what God is? You can guess it, right? God is what? Love. God is love. 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. You see, God is the origin and the perfect example of love. Love flows from his very nature. To me, that's real important. Because I think a lot of times we look at God as if he is waiting to devour us. He's waiting to squash us. He's waiting to destroy us. He's waiting to punish us. He's not. He's waiting to love us. He's the father and the prodigal son that was longing for his son to come home. He is the God of justice. He is the God of righteousness. He's the God of love. See, God is love, and his love is sacrificial. We know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love isn't about what he gets, but what he gives. Think about that. That's sacrificial love. Real love sacrifices for the good of others. That's why Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. If I'm going to love, and I'm going to love like Christ, then love has to, as it does with God, come out of me. It has to overflow with me, and it's got to be sacrificial. But thirdly, under this point, God's love is also unconditional. God is love. His love is sacrificial. His love is unconditional. In Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, that's important because it says demonstrates. It manifests, right? It makes known. God could have said, hey, I love you. He went beyond that. And he showed us. How much did God love us? Enough to give us his son. God's love for us does not depend on our worth. Aren't you thankful for that? I can't earn his love. It's just there. I mean, it's amazing to me. And Justin says this, and I love the way he says it. He loves us even though we're unlovable. Think about that. There are times that I am a wretch. There are times that I turn my back on God, right? We can all relate, right? But what does he do? He loves us despite that. He loves us even at our worst. And it teaches us to love others the same way. You see, that's agape love. There's no condition on it. God didn't say, if you do this, 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 and this, I'll love you. He said, I'll love you no matter what. The agnostic or the atheist would say, how can a loving God then send someone to hell? You understand that it's not God that sends anybody to hell. It's our choosing not to love God back. But I guarantee you, every soul that will suffer in hell, God still loves. Think about that. Don't think less of me, please. I like to watch a show called Very Scary People. It's about serial killers. Probably didn't expect that one coming from me today. But I like it because of the psychology behind it. I'm interested in the mind and what makes things work. There's 6 seasons of it, and there's been some vile people. And really, it turns my stomach. And you know a lot of them over the years just through hearing it through the news. But God even loves them. That's amazing. The vilest of the vile, God still loves because his love is unconditional. Have you reflected on how much God loves you? When we do that, you know what it should do? It should fill us with gratitude, right? It should fill us with just the best feeling. And that gratitude and that thankfulness should inspire us to share that love with others. Just like somebody loved us enough to share it with us. I was talking to someone just yesterday. And through their emotions, they were saying, I'm so thankful that somebody loved me enough to tell me about Jesus. Can't we all relate to that? Can't we go back even further and say, we love Jesus so much that he loved us to die for us? We love God so much that he gave Jesus to die for us? Then how can we not share that love with others? Secondly, this morning, as we talk about living like Jesus, living out love, we need to talk about Jesus' life and his sacrifice. You see, Jesus loved through service. John 13, 12 through 15 is the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Can't you see that scene? As the custom was, you had a servant. And the reason they washed feet is because they walked around all day in sandals. And it was dusty. And then when they sat at a table, they sat reclined where their feet were basically in another person's face as they were eating. Obviously, you'd want those feet clean. The custom was the servant would wash their feet. Can you imagine? And I don't have the scripture proof that anybody said this, okay? But if anybody was going to say it, I bet it was Peter. I am starving. Where's the servant? I need somebody here to wash my feet. It's time to eat. I'm ready to eat. Where is that servant? Everybody's looking around. Where is he? And the Savior of the world, God in the flesh, he got up and he started washing their feet. Of course, we know Peter then did speak up and say, you're not going to wash my feet. Of course, Jesus said, if I don't wash you, Peter, you have no part with me. Then he went in to wash his whole body. Oh, Peter, I love him, man. But at the end of the day, what we learn from that is no matter who we are or what position we hold or how much money's in our bank account or how many cars are in our driveway, we can never be on a high horse. We got to be able to be humble and love everybody and show that love by serving others. Jesus also loved through compassion. In Mark 6:34, Mark records there, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. That's just a strong verse to me. You think about it. He had so many things to do. Not long from there, and he's going to die the death of the cross. But he gets on that shore. You know he's tired. Remember, in 3 years, he jammed everything in the Bible good that we know that he did. And then John said he did a lot more than that. He did it in 3 years. You know he was tired. I'm sure Satan was there saying, just go to sleep. Just don't worry about him. Ignore him. Maybe he was even using other people to say that. But Jesus was moved in his spirit because he saw these people. They were like sheep who had nobody to guide them. He fed the hungry, healed the sick, and cared for the outcast because he had compassion. I think I probably fell at that more than anything. Sometimes I think my heart is too hard. I got to be more like Jesus. I want to have that type of compassion. Remember that compassion, it's got to move you in your stomach. You got to feel it. And once you do, don't ignore it. Because it's going to help somebody see Jesus Christ that day. Thirdly, Jesus loved through sacrifice. I quoted this verse earlier, but here it is again. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's John 15:13. The next verse he says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You see, his ultimate act of love was that willingness to die. It's that same mentality that Paul wrote about in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Coming in the likeness of man, he came as a servant, and he was obedient. And he served to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You see, Jesus was in heaven. He's God. But as the song says, he left the splendor of it, knowing that Golgotha was the final point. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he wanted another way, but he knew it had to happen. When you look in the Old Testament, you see God at times pouring out his wrath, right? Times like opening up the earth and swallowing people, raining down fire and destroying people. Anytime God poured out his wrath, it was bad. Jesus took the cup of his wrath so that we do not have to. Think about that. He gave everything so that we can gain heaven. Love demands sacrifice. Following Jesus means loving as he loved. That might mean serving those who are hard to serve, showing compassion to those who don't look like us or smell like us or act like us or talk like us. It might mean sacrificing our time, our resources, and even comfort so that we can help others. Thirdly, this morning, we got to live out love every single day. Live out love daily. We're reminded in that love has to be active. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. You know 1 Corinthians 13, right? We call it the love chapter of the Bible. Here are the highlights of what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious. Love is not boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. In fact, here's what love is. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Are we that kind of love? What a great chapter, and you've heard for years that if you take the word love out and you put your name in, if you can't fulfill that, then we've got to change some things. Because that's who we should be. As the church of our Lord, we have to be love. We have to pour out love. We have to portray love. We've talked all year now about being that living stone connected to the cornerstone. If we do not have love, then it is not worth anything. It's just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, it's just a bunch of noise. When you look at a building like this building on the outside, it's a beautiful building. What is the first thing you notice? Well, you might say the steeple and all that, but when you really look at it, you're going to notice the brick. That brick is nothing without the mortar. You don't look and say, oh, that mortar is so beautiful. By the way, there are a million kinds of colors of mortar, if you didn't know. I learned that when I was building a house. I thought there was just a couple. But you don't notice the mortar. But it's the mortar that holds it together. See, that's what love is. Love is the mortar that keeps the church together. Are we practicing 1 Corinthians 13? Secondly, under this point, love others as God has loved you. If we're going to live it out daily, we've got to love others the way God's loved us. We read a lot from 1 John today. 1 John's a great passage about love. 1 John 4:19, we love because why? He first loved us. There's no reason to love if God didn't love us. Our love for others flows from understanding how deeply God has loved us. You know, as I said earlier, it's not easy to love us sometimes. But if I'm going to love like God, that might mean it's going to not always be easy to love others. But just because it's not easy to love us, God still loves us. Just because it's not easy to love others sometimes, we still must love them. Because that's living out love every single day. Excuse me. Thirdly, we got to love even when it's hard. Matthew 5, 43 through 44. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's tough. You want to tell, hey, Terry, what's the most challenging scripture in the Bible? We could probably put several in there, right? But I'd put this one right up there. It is hard to love somebody that doesn't love you. But as I said earlier, God loves the serial killer. God loves the rapist. God loves the atheist. God loves people that take His name in vain. Now, I didn't say He approved of all the things that they did, but He loves them. The people that were crucifying Jesus Christ, that were mocking Him and insulting Him, you know what He said? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He loved them from the cross. True love goes beyond loving those who love us back. It extends to enemies and those who hurt us. Now, I told him I was going to say this, so I kind of got permission. I just told him not to be mad at me. I've said it before, but it's worth saying again. Over our benevolence ministry here is Ken Murphy. There is not a better choice in the existence of benevolence than Ken Murphy. I've never known a man who loves like Ken Murphy loves. One day, I was a young minister here. I hadn't been here very long, but I grew up here, so I've known Ken my whole life. But I went with him one day. He said, hey, we got to take some groceries to a guy. We did that several times over the years. He said, but this guy has AIDS. Now, again, I'm coming from a time when, this is a long time ago. Maybe we didn't understand everything about it, right? I was kind of apprehensive, to be honest with you. This guy has AIDS. I don't want him to get any of his AIDS on me, is the way I was thinking about it. Obviously, we know that there's got to be blood and bodily fluid. But as a young guy, I'm thinking, I don't want any part of this, but I'm going to go because I feel like I have to. We go there, and we get there, and first thing Ken Murphy does is take that guy, and he gives him the biggest hug. And then he taught him the gospel. And then he baptized him into Jesus Christ. Boy, I needed to see that. It taught this young minister a lesson. Love, even when it's hard. I appreciate you, Ken, on a lot of levels. We also have to love through action and not just words. I believe James sums it up best when he says in verses 15 through 17 of chapter 2, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Love has to move us to action. We can say it about faith, right? That passage is about faith. Think about that. Faith without works is dead. But can't we say it about love too? Love without action is dead. It's just making noise. It's clanging cymbals, as Paul said. I asked the beginning of this lesson, what does love look like? We've come to a point in time, probably when my voice is about gone, and I need to close. But I want you to ask yourself, does love look like me? The way I'm living my life right now, is it attractive to others? Do they want to be around me? Do they see Jesus living in me? If your life had to give the definition of love right now, are you happy with the definition? To close, we got to think about this. Our love is supposed to transform the world. Remember, in Acts 2, it was 3,000 souls because of love. A little bit later, it grew to 5,000 men. Then they quit counting because the church was growing so fast because of love. They said it's growing by multitudes. Then you know what they said, right? They've turned the world upside down. You see, the early church, because of love, transformed the world. Is the Azalea City Church of Christ today transforming the world? We need to remember under this that love is a testimony. Again, don't let people take that word away. That's not a bad word. Love is a testimony. John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you what? Have love for one another. The way Christians love one another is a testimony to the world. That's important, folks. Love brings unity. If we're going to transform the world, we've got to be that testimony. We've got to bring unity. Colossians 3:14, and above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Love unites people despite differences. It is the bond of perfection. Then finally, love changes lives. I believe it's all summed up in John chapter 8, the adulterous woman. They caught that woman in the very act of adultery. Why they didn't drag the man, it's a question that's unanswered. But they drug that woman to Jesus. And they really weren't concerned about the law or that woman at all. They just wanted to catch Jesus. But there's the woman caught in the very act of adultery. In front of love in the flesh. And those men are standing there seething with rocks, wanting to bash her head in, really to catch Jesus. You remember Jesus on a couple occasions drew in the sand. And eventually they put all the rocks down and left one by one. And there was sin in front of the Savior. That woman that day didn't need a stoning. She needed a Savior. She walked into that room caught in the very act of sin. She may not have had many clothes on even. As she stood before Jesus Christ, who just sent every person out of that room, the only person that could have thrown a rock that day was Jesus Christ. But He didn't throw any rocks. He overflowed love. He said, "Woman, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." Listen, I can't prove it. I can't. But I just know in heaven I'm going to see that woman. Because I guarantee you that transformed her life. Can you imagine? Some of us have been caught in sin before. Maybe we've been caught in a lie. Maybe we've been caught in something else. Maybe we receive punishment. But here's what I can promise you. That if we're not God to others on this earth, if they do not see God living in us, if we are not love, if we are not who we need to be, if we're not washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, there's coming a day when we are going to get caught and we are going to get punished. But the alternative to that is this. If we are adultery, if we are gossip, if we are lying, if we are stealing, if we are profane speech and everything else we can put in there, if we are sin today, but we've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that sacrificial love, there's coming a day when He's going to look at us and say, "Son, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. Come home." You see, that's what it's all about. A life that is transformed. Has your life been transformed by Jesus? Are you transforming others' lives? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, or if you need to come home, you have the opportunity right now as together we stand and sing.